It's an industry that I generally love. I have a passion for. I eat, sleep, I live for fitness.
No, you need to be obsessed. You need to wake up, think about it. You need to go to bed, think about your clients, think about your progress, think about what you can do better.
Genuinely, like, just be like patient and take your time. Like that is like, you've got to take it all in the right steps. You've got to nail what you do in person before you go online.
I don't like to talk about fear. The fears is usually something that makes your worries real.
Welcome to the Coaching Ignited podcast. I'm your host, Alex Povey. It's great to have you here. This show is all about peeling back the curtain on what's going to help you build the fitness business you truly want. And each week we bring on a new guest to share their stories, insights, and strategies so you too can take action and apply what you learn. The podcast is released every Wednesday on all the major platforms, including Spotify and iTunes. So make sure you go give that a subscribe, guys. Now, if you're a personal trainer in a commercial gym with 500 plus members and you want to fast track your income growth and learn how to sign multiple new clients a week, reach out to me personally through Facebook or Instagram and just drop me a private message so we can get the conversation started and see if you could be a good fit for one of our programs. All the links to my social can be found in the show notes so you can connect with me there. Now let's get into this week's episode. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Excuse any of the background noise. In a pretty noisy place today recording this intro, but I'm excited to announce that today we've got the awesome Lauren Tickner joining us. And this one's all about starting and scaling an online coaching business. Lauren actually quit her corporate job at the age of just 19 to follow her passion and build a successful online coaching business. And in the space of just 3 months, guys, she was able to triple her corporate salary and lay the foundations to help others grow and scale their online businesses too. She is known for her core values of freedom and fulfillment, and you can see this in everything that she does. She's interviewed the likes of Grant Cardone, which I'm a big fan of, on her podcast Impact School, which is rated as one of the top 10 business podcasts in the world. It's jam-packed with topics such as entrepreneurship, online business, health, self-development, mindset, and social media. You can also find Lauren on YouTube, where you'll catch her vlogging and keeping it real, on top of her equally authentic and verified Instagram account that boasts over 129,000 followers. This episode is all about the simple yet crucial steps to taking your fitness business online. With there being so many things that you can do, it's all about the simplification and focusing on the key components that are going to help you move the business forward. So let's get into it. All right, so we are live. I want to welcome you onto the podcast. Thanks for being here, Lauren.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited, coming from sunny England for once. So it's good to chat to another fellow Englishman.
So I'd love to kind of get a bit of a backstory into you, just to give the listeners some context into like the journey that you've been on. And then we'll shift gears into basically some strategy and steps to growing and scaling an online business. So why don't we start there? Let's start with your story. What made you decide to get into the fitness industry? Where did that all begin for you?
Absolutely. So I'm excited to share this because this is my absolute favorite topic. Now, one thing I do notice, because I'm an avid podcast listener, I'm one of those people that listens on like 1.5 or 2x speed. And so often I find that when people are sharing their story, they just ramble on and on and on. And I've definitely done that many times as I've been on other people's podcasts in the past. So I'm going to keep it to the point this time. So when it comes to fitness, I think that everyone gets into fitness for one of two reasons, right? The first thing is simple. They've been an athlete their whole life and suddenly they leave high school or college and they're no longer really playing because that's not really necessarily what many adults tend to do because they get busy with work. So they get really into the gym or some other type of training. So that tends to be like one side of people who get into it. And then the other side is people who just have some crazy, crazy transformation. So there's been some pivotal moment in their life that has forced them to get into fitness for whatever reason it happens to be. So I am one of the people who, I was always into sport for sure, but I was never any good. So I wasn't that type. I was the type of person who was actually overweight when they were younger. And looking at me now, like anyone who is into fitness, you show them an old photo and they just can't believe it's you. And I'm sure there's people listening to this right now who can definitely relate. So I was overweight for my height, and I just remember being in biology class in school around the age of probably 14. And we were doing the human body. And one thing that I'll never forget was when everybody was weighing themselves. And I remember I was with all my friends who were all girls, who were skinny and short and everything. And I remember them going on the scales and, oh gosh, in kg, I don't remember how much it would have been, but it's sort of, they did it in stone. And they were all just over 7 to 8 stone. And then I remember going on there and I was almost 11 stone. And I was heavier than most of the guys. And I just remember it just made me feel horrendous. Just, I was mortified. And so that wasn't really the pivotal moment for me. For a while longer, I just kept at my old ways of gorging on chocolate. And always, honestly, I was always known as someone who ate healthy. But as we all know, I wasn't in that calorie deficit ever, or I was way in a surplus the whole time. And so pretty much what happened was I saw a photo of me next to a friend one time, and I was just pretty much double the size of her. And I was like, right, need to do something about this. And so unfortunately, trial and error is something which many of us try to do, whether it's with our business, our bodies, or whatever area it is that we're trying to improve. And so I decided that I was gonna take to my good old friend Google. And so I typed in on Google how to lose weight. And everything that I saw was that you need to burn more calories than you eat in a day. And so I was like, right, well, fine, let's do this thing. Let's get a gym membership. So I started going to the gym at school. They just built a new one. So that was pretty cool. And so every day what I would do is I'd go on the cross trainer and I'd burn 500 calories. And I was like, okay, well, if I want to be in this thing called a calorie deficit that I'm finding out about, I need to, and I said, I was like, look, I'm not going to be extreme with this. I'm going to do a mild calorie deficit. So I was like, okay, 200 calories a day. So I was like, okay, 500 minus 200, that leaves me with 300 calories a day. And so I was eating 300 calories a day because that's what I believe to be a calorie deficit. So that just goes to show how important fitness professionals are to actually educate humans on what is a healthy calorie deficit or how to actually do fitness. And so that's one of the reasons why I am so passionate about helping the health and fitness industry really change people's lives. And so obviously, you know, I lost weight rapidly and that really got me into a disordered form of eating. And so long story short, that was really my entry into fitness. But then my entry into healthy fitness was when I got too skinny and when I was having panic attacks every single day. I was around the age of 16, 17 at this time, couldn't last a full day in school because I would have a panic attack. I was diagnosed with panic disorder, put on beta blockers to slow down my heart rate because that's one of the physical symptoms of anxiety. And at that point, I was like, no, look, I want to be successful. And if I'm having panic attacks every single day, then let's be real, like I'm not going to be able to get to where I want to get to. So then I took back to Google this time and I just typed in, okay, so how do I gain weight in a healthy way? And everything was telling me you need to do weight training. And so I slowly transitioned away from my cardio into weights and it changed my life. I became obsessed. I got hooked on evidence-based training and nutrition. I started listening to really scientific podcasts, like well beyond anything that someone of my age should have really been listening to, but I was just fascinated by it. And so that's how I got into all of that. And all while doing so and getting into the fitness stuff, I started posting to Instagram because I wanted to connect with other girls who were into lifting. And that was when I was 16 years old. So I'm 22 now, so 6 years ago. And then ever since then, just been posting to social media consistently, built an audience in the fitness space. And yeah, we'll dive into the business stuff, I'm sure, on this podcast.
Hey, thank you so much for sharing that. Obviously, that's very personal. And yeah, I really appreciate you going into so much kind of detail about those early years for you. So you talk about sharing a lot of this stuff on social media. And obviously, you've got a huge account now on Instagram. I think you've got over 130,000 followers on there, and a blue tick as well, which I've noticed, right? Which is awesome. So in terms of that, was that really the catalyst for you launching your like online business, helping people do the same thing? Did the Instagram growth and the awareness there give you kind of like the idea to go, okay, I can actually monetize this? Or did it happen a different way? What was the catalyst for you actually teaching people this stuff?
It's a great question because it's so funny. I get direct messages every single day from other people with blue ticks who have way more followers than I do, asking me how to make money on social media. And then I do a call with them and it turns out that they're making under £3,000 per month. So probably like just short of $4,000. And it's crazy because so many people think that a big following means big money, and it just isn't true. So having my audience on social was honestly not the reason why I got into online coaching. I used to watch YouTubers and they were just vloggers, you know, people like Christian Guzman or the Gymshark athletes, all of that. And I wanted to be like them. I wanted to be a YouTuber. I wanted to be an influencer. But one thing that I was failing to notice was that they all had online coaching businesses. They weren't surviving on just their money from their sponsors. Well, some of them were, but as I mentioned, they were only earning a few thousand per month. And I was like, I want to build like a huge company. And so anyways, it was this thing in my mind. I was like, yeah, be a YouTuber, blah, blah, blah. But then straight after school, because at the same time, I also was afraid to do that. You know, I was afraid to post YouTube videos and stuff because of what my friends were going to say about me. And so I kind of held off doing that. So age 18, straight out of school, I got into university, but I decided to defer my entry. And I actually, in the end, decided to go and get a job at an asset management firm. And so I did all these training days, assessments to get this job. And like, it was a really tough battle, but somehow I got it. So I was so proud of myself and so excited and so stoked. And this was when I was super into weightlifting and everything. I still am, but I was training. And anyways, then I get into this job. And after a month, I just realized how unhappy it made me. My parents even sat me down and they said, Lauren, we have lost the girl that we used to know. Because I would have to be in my office every day at 7 a.m. And so the commute was pretty much like an hour and a half. So I was leaving here at the crack of dawn. And then during the day or after work, I'd have to fit in my workout. And so I pretty much had 30 minutes of time awake to myself every day. And in that period of time, I was trying to post to Instagram pretty much. And so I stopped making YouTube videos at that point. And I just realized, you know what? I am obsessed with fitness. I see what these YouTubers are doing. By now, I'd noticed that they were all doing online coaching. I was like, I know more than all these people do. I've been reading like Team 3DMJ, like Eric Helms. I've been reading all these people. I've been listening to all their podcasts. I know so much about fitness. I can help people and I can make money with that. And so I knew that I didn't want to, at that time, I didn't want to be working an in-person job. So for me, in-person PT was off the cards. But again, I had by now a very small following on social. It wasn't big by any means. But I was like, I have all this Instagram stuff. I'm like, I want to merge the two, just like all these big YouTubers are. But I want to somehow do it, you know, with my smaller audience. And so I started researching. And I found out, I did trial and error, obviously. But I coached people for free and it just wasn't working. And so then I found out about high ticket coaching and I implemented that into my life. And it's funny because when I scroll back on like my bank and stuff, I'm like, damn, I was charging a lot more than I ever even realized. But yeah, I was doing high ticket coaching and it was just amazing because I'm a true believer in the fact that when people pay, they pay attention. And so honestly, the way in which I got into fitness coaching was being so unhappy in my job and just being like, right, I'm going to quit this job. I'm going to get my PT qualification and I'm going to go straight online. And for me personally, as someone who is obsessed with freedom of location, that was the best thing I ever did.
How hard was that decision for you? Because obviously it was an easy decision to want to get away from it. But like, obviously you're breaking free of the system, as it were, I've been in the corporate world myself, went to university, spent tens of thousands of pounds getting an education to then go and work for a corporate. And although making good money, like, wasn't particularly happy and didn't really like abiding to the ways that other people wanted to do things, which I'm sure you found, right? And to make that shift is sometimes difficult. I mean, there's a lot of people that will be listening to this that will be surviving off those jobs, but wanting to pursue a career in fitness, but just finding it hard to break free from what they're currently doing to make that leap. What was that process like for you?
Here's the thing. People's biggest addiction is their paycheck. Nothing about their job may be making them happy, but they are only staying there to have that money in the bank. And so when I was working that job, I started in September and it was supposed to be a 12-month contract, but they offered me to continue staying there for over 40 grand a year, right? Bearing in mind that I was 19 years old and they were offering me 40 grand. And so that was an incredible offer. But I said to myself, I was like, okay, it was November and I believed that everyone was going to get Christmas bonuses. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to stay until I get my Christmas bonus. So I stayed until the end of December. January comes around, still nothing. And then it turns out that it's the end of the tax year. So I was like, okay, it's only until the end of March, because that year it was the end of March, right at the end. And then I was just like, oh, I'm just going to hold it out. And the only thing that was keeping me in that job was that bonus that was going to be like 2 to 4 grand. I don't remember exactly how much it was. I think it was like between that. And honestly, in hindsight, I am so sad that I did that, because guess what? You're listening to this podcast right now. You are someone who is going to be successful. The fact that you're listening to this shows that. And in hindsight, I regret staying in that job for so long, so much, because for me, 2 to 3 to 4 grand right now, to stay in a job that I hate and spend so much time just for that small amount of money, it actually breaks my heart that I did that. Because I don't want to say this in like a braggadocious way, but when you have an abundance mindset towards money, and when, as you're listening to this right now, you realize that this will be you in a few years' time, 2 to 4 grand for me right now is nothing. And so I am so frustrated with myself that I did that. But the great news about it is that I learned. And I learned that I should never waste time just for money on something ever again, because your mindset and perspective change as you start getting more successful. And so when it came to actually leaving that job, and in response to your question, was it a hard decision? My dad was telling me that he was going to disown me, that he was going to kick me out of the house. And so obviously I was still living at home with my parents. And the thing is, he was so ashamed of me for making that decision. But the crazy thing is, now he asks me, hey, Lauren, how can I get in on this? I want some of this. Like, I want a piece of the pie. And the thing is, right, you can't listen to people who haven't done what you want to do, because they just fundamentally won't get it. So the decision was really hard because of what I thought people were going to think about me. I was seen as so successful from the outside. And to go from that to this random thing called online coaching, or some random job in the fitness industry that no one really knows anything about, having been at a school where academia and corporate jobs are heavily, heavily praised, it was really tough. But at the same time, it wasn't so tough that I had bills to pay. You know, I had my car to pay, I had rent to pay to my dad, but that was pretty much all. And so I was in a lot better of a position than someone who perhaps has kids. But having said that, I feel that when it comes to leaving a job, many people think that they actually require more money than they do. If you really think about what do you actually need to literally get by, people always tend to add like a grand on top of it. It doesn't make sense to me. You know, people will say, oh, I'm making 3 grand a month, but oh, I'm so broke. But then you look at what they're actually spending on, and every month they're doing a MyProtein order of like 200 to 300 pounds. And it's just like, you don't actually necessarily need that. Yeah, buy your whey protein, but these hydrolyzed friggin' creatine pills, they aren't necessary or whatever. And so in response to your question overall, I think that, yeah, leaving a job is really hard, but I don't know about you. For me, the harder thing is to live the rest of my life in regret, looking back, knowing that I could have done more.
Yeah, I love that. And I can relate to that a lot, like a lot. I remember the decision for me. I was in like a big corporate, almost doing like 100K a year, like making decent money. And I was straight out of university, so probably making quadruple what anyone was making, right? So good, but really high pressure sales, high ticket sales, like a lot of like targets, things to hit. And I was doing it for like 18 months. And there was great times, as you know, like there is good times in the corporates when you're actually like winning and you're enjoying it. But there's also parts of you, particularly if you have got like an entrepreneurial flair or you like making your own decisions, where it's just totally not you as well. Like when you don't want to always conform to the way that other people want to do things. And I remember the decision I had to make, because obviously you're making good money, as you were saying as well. You had like a really good offer, and sometimes you can get swayed by the money too much.
Actual
and
decision.
It kind of like dilutes your overall like decisions and visions. Yeah. And it's like so difficult. You've got to wrestle with it sometimes. And there's probably people that are listening to this right now who are making money and they don't want to give that up in the pursuit of being happier and actually probably making more money long term. But it's about just like being emotionally aware of like, are you happy or are you not? Because that's probably a better barometer than money. I know it sounds cliche, but like when you start pursuing things that you actually enjoy, then you're going to be more successful long term anyway, because you're going to invest more in learning into it. You're passionate about it. Your clients are going to see that. And then that's going to bring more clients, more revenue, and you're going to go further. But I think it's just a tough decision to make sometimes when you're in it, when you're in the thick of it.
It's also a tough decision to make when you are literally broke. You have kids to feed. And I'm not speaking from experience. I'm just a client of mine called Shell came to mind, because she has two kids. She's a single mom. She had two jobs. She now has one part-time, because one of them was a full-time, one of them was part-time. She was able to drop her full-time, but she was, again, wrestling with an idea, but it was the idea of starting online coaching. And the thing was, like, she just didn't know if she could make it. And I think that's the thing. It's like people's minds hold them back. And because they aren't happy in their current reality, they can't envision how they can be happier in the future. And so I really think that it comes down to, here's how I sort of like, I guess, live my life is like, if someone has done something, why can't I? You know, like I, as you mentioned, if you're someone who wants to be a, who likes to make your own decisions, I think everyone that's into fitness in any way, shape or form likes to make their own decisions. You want to go to the gym when you want to go. You want to get your sleep when you want to get your sleep. You want to get your steps when you get your steps, right? And so anyone who can do fitness can do business. I feel that they have so many similarities. And so that's why, yeah, I think that it's all about thinking about the long term, you know, just like how in the gym you put in those reps and you don't expect to get the result right away. Same thing goes in business. And so people really just need to assess, like you mentioned, am I happy right now? But when I used to listen to podcasts, I would always listen as I was on a walk. So I would be outside, headphones on, in my own world, listening to these podcasts where people would say things like, you just need to do things that make you happy. And I would literally be scrolling Instagram as they said that, because I was like, oh, this is so stupid. I don't get how these people can think like this, because my current reality is so bad. I was going to say a swear word then, but I won't. But anyways, I couldn't get it around my head how these people were saying that thing. I couldn't imagine that I would ever think that way. But now I do. And that was only after taking a series of actions, thinking about my future self, not thinking about my current self. And so that's really what I wanted to get at with that point. It's like, you need to think about where you want to get to, while of course, you know, making sure that you're being sensible in the current moment. But if you want to be truly successful, you really are going to have to take some level of risks. And so I think that you just, yeah, it's all about that long game.
I love what you said about if someone else can do it, then so can I. And I hold that same philosophy. Like, someone else is doing X over here. Like, they're only a human being with the same opportunities, the same market. Everything's very similar. Obviously, there's other variables, like you can start off with more money or you've got access to a different group of people and specialist knowledge. But if one person can do something, like, you can do it too. And I totally believe in that a lot. And what I kind of like to want to do here is almost like go through your experience, because I think there'll be loads of lessons in there for people in terms of the online stuff. So we don't have to talk in theory about how to launch an online business, because we can walk through it the way that you did it and maybe look at some of the lessons that you learned and the ways that you'd have done it differently this time to grow even quicker than you did the first time around. So what were some of the first steps that you took, or how did you begin with your online coaching business?
I love this. This is so cool. Just on what you were saying though, before I dive into that, life kind of, I sort of like thought of this analogy, right? So, you know, when you're out on a run, right? Let's say I'm out on a run and so is Alex. So we're both out on a run and we're not together. We're just out on a run. And suddenly we cross past each other. Now here's the thing. Alex could be like sprinting, going so fast, looking so fit, and just has really nice clothes and really nice expensive headphones. And then I could be running, struggling in really ugly clothes, really crying because of something bad's happened in my life. And I'm sad that how much I suck. And the thing is, right, we do this all the time, right? We see someone who's amazing, who's crushing it, but I don't know that Alex's house was like 2 seconds away from where I just saw him. I don't know that Alex just won the lottery and he didn't have to work to get all of his money. I don't know that Alex is literally doing sprints today. He's not actually on a jog. Whereas like we compare ourselves based upon just a tiny section of someone's life that we see. So I really wanted to just say that based upon everything that you were saying. But at the same time, Alex is doing it, so you can too. You just need to know exactly what you want. You need to find the people that have done it so that you can really mold their success. And obviously the lottery was just a bad example there, but you know what I'm saying. Another example of that could have been like he's been working on his business for 30 years. But anyways, so it's so funny. So when I started out, I tried things like ebooks. I tried things like challenges. I tried coaching people for free. I tried spreadsheets and all these ways of doing online coaching. And it's because I was copying what these big YouTubers were doing. Honestly, that's where I really got all of my ideas. These big YouTubers, and I guess the equivalent now could be like big Instagrammers, because that wasn't really so much of a thing back then. And so I saw what they were doing, and yeah, I just tried to do it for myself. And the thing was, and the thing that I was forgetting was that I couldn't actually do exactly what they did because I didn't have the audience to just promote to. I had to do more like sort of manual work. So yeah, that's what I tried. I think that my biggest thing was that I was honestly just taking a stab in the dark. I didn't even know like how people did it. I'd never had an online coach before. I was kind of just taking, you know, when you see in bodybuilding.com, like the workouts, I was basically doing that and basically creating like a periodized training program. And then giving people macros and just adjusting their macros every week via a check-in, because I heard people talk about check-ins and I heard people talk about how they did Skype calls. So I did that as well. And it wasn't great. It wasn't a good way for me to get clients, and it wasn't delivering an amazing client experience. So that's what I did. I don't know if you want to talk about any of that, but.
Yeah, let's dive into that and why it didn't work for you and why that was not the same thing that you would do this time around.
Yeah, so I was just making posts on social media. Really, that was like my biggest way of getting clients. Just posting on social, expecting them to come to me. I thought, you know, by now I had a few thousand followers. I was like, I'll make a post. People know that I'm the fitness person. There we go. I'll get clients like this. And it just, yeah, it didn't happen. For sure, some people, you know, I was in a better position than most. A few people did message me. But they were people who had maybe had like eating disorders in the past, who really needed like therapy that their parents would buy for them, you know, because they were young girls. and so, yeah, I just expected clients to come. I don't know. That's really what I was thinking.
And then when you were doing these posts, though, like, was there any like calls to action, or were they literally just?
That's such a good point. That is hilarious that you say that, because I wasn't even thinking. Yeah, I would literally just write like, I have spots available for online coaching. or like that would be my entire post. Or I would, I don't know, I'd like make a really cringy like graphic and post that on my feed. And it was obviously like a salesy thing, so people just like scroll straight past, you know, or it would get like no reach. But yeah, it was just like blatant sales. And I hated doing it because it was so cringy. Like there was no crafting behind it. There was no capture the attention, you know, evoke people's interest and have a click or to action at the end. There was none of that. It was just like, I have spots for online coaching. Send me a message. Or no, it wasn't even send me a message. It was like, click the link in my bio and book a call. So, I mean, at least I had some sort of a funnel, but... Yeah, it was tragic. I didn't even have an application or anything. It was.
So then when you did get the interest, so say someone did click the link or they did book on call you or whatever, and then you sell them into the program, like how did that look? Because you talk about it really not being where it is today and you were doing stuff.
Oh, I did not. Yeah, I did not sell them. I had a full on hour and a half coaching session with them. That's all I did on the phone. I didn't have a structured sales template for script for my call, which in hindsight is, yeah, it's crazy how I actually even ended up getting people to buy. I don't know how I did it. I do not know how. Because if someone got me on the phone and did that, there's no way that I'd be signing up and working with them. I'd be bored by the end. So no, there was no structure. Now I have a really, really clear script and it works. It converts. I mean, God, my team are crushing it. Like when it comes, by the point in which someone gets on the phone with us, like we are, oh gosh, I'd say it's much more rare that someone won't end up joining than joining now. And for me in the past, like it was definitely the exact opposite than that. Because we're screening people through application. We're then making them actually confirm their call so that they actually show up. And then we have a really clear template that we follow to walk people through the enrollment. And we only make the offer, obviously, if they're going to be a good fit as well. So like, it's crazy. Like we get on calls with some people and we don't even invite them to join the program. Because if they aren't a good fit, then, you know, we honestly want to protect our energy and we don't want the client to be out of their depth or doing something that we don't feel is good for them. So we'll either refer them elsewhere based upon what they really want, or we will, we'll just downsell them a more affordable program that's going to be good to get them started. But yeah, my way in which I was getting clients, there was no strategy. Right? There was no strategy. And it's hilarious because people who are listening right now will think, oh, I want to start online coaching, but I'm just going to try making a few posts on social media, or oh, I'll just try and, you know, tell a few of my friends about it. I'll coach a few people for free. Coaching for free is one of the worst things you can do. So I'll just tell you a quick story. So when I was starting out, I did exactly that. I coached a couple of people for free. They were my friends from school. They wanted to lose weight. And I was like, perfect, cool, I can help you out. So I gave them training programs that I made, and then I basically, I pretty much like taught them macros and everything. And then this was when they were going to university. So they went, and then I think I saw them. So they went in like September, and then I saw them at Christmas, and both of them had gained a significant amount of weight. And I was just like, oh, what the heck is going on here? I was pretty like embarrassed. And I didn't necessarily, you know, ask why have you gained weight, because that would be terribly rude. I just said, what's happened about the online coaching? Because when I was doing check-ins with them, they would kind of just reply back saying like, yeah, it was good, because I had no check-in process either. And the thing was, right, about doing that is like, they didn't have any skin in the game because they hadn't paid, so they just didn't pay attention. And it wasn't bad just because of the fact that they didn't get the help they wanted, but it was also bad in the fact that I felt like I sucked. And so that really knocked my confidence when it came to continuing to build my business into the future. Because I was like, I can't even get my friends' results. Like, surely I shouldn't be a coach. And so I started questioning myself, honestly. And it was terrible. But thankfully, I did end up signing a couple of other clients and I did get them amazing results because I knew that I was good at what I did. It's just that those friends hadn't paid, because coaching for free, I just think it's such a bad idea.
So let's rewind a second. So let's go back to like the front end of it, because obviously now you obviously know how to generate the leads. You've got a funnel, you've got a sales process, you've got scripts, and then you're obviously delivering amazing results and a great service on the back end to retain and make sure that you're working with the right people. So let's just rewind, because most people probably listening to this will think it's as simple as just putting out some posts, advertising, telling people to DM you because you're an online coach and that you're awesome and that they should sign up with you.
Because you have online coach in your bio.
Yeah, exactly, which means fuck all, by the way. And it's not specific enough.
No one knows what that means. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It doesn't even actually mean anything. So like in terms of what people should be doing, so let's just talk about the front end. Like if you want to start cutting through the noise and start actually getting people responding and getting people to take action to get on maybe a phone call with you or reach out to you, like how do you go about that process? What is the process for creating content to do that?
I think before anything else, before you can actually go ahead and do that, you need one thing. And that one thing is knowing exactly who it is that you're going to be helping, right? You need to know your ideal client. But you don't just need to know your ideal client. You also need to know the exact transformation that you're going to take them through. And when I say transformation, I don't mean like a 12-week transformation. Like I mean, where are you going to take them from A to B? Okay, so maybe it's that you are going to help a middle-aged mom who's just had her second kid go from looking in the mirror, hating their body, having a flabby stomach, to being confident in a bikini and having no more rolls. Okay, maybe that's what you're going to be helping people with. Maybe it's going to be that you're going to help someone go from absolute newbie, never lifted weights in their life, to their very first powerlifting competition. You know, it needs to be a clear transformation that you're going to take someone through and how it's going to benefit their life having been through that transformation. That is so important, but you need to know who the person is. Okay, so as I mentioned before, middle-aged mom who's just had a second kid, that's a great example of how clear you need to be. The other example I gave was a really bad example because I just said someone. So maybe that someone that you want to help do their first powerlifting competition could be a dad, or it could be a banker, because obviously if they're a banker, they're a busy person. Or like when I say banker, I just mean like a corporate worker, you know? You need to know who your niche is, but more specifically the ideal client. And then once you know the ideal client, you need to know the transformation that you're taking them through. That's fundamental, because if you don't do that, then you can't put even one post on social media because it won't be clear. And you know what frustrates me the most is like, I tell this to people, and I guess it's that whole thing of like when people pay, they pay attention, but I tell this to people and they still don't do it. It's so annoying. Like I literally will say, you need to be clear with who your ideal client is and you need to be clear on what the transformation is. And then the next post I see is them talking about their prep for their competition. Like, oh, I'm prepping right now, blah, blah, blah. But their ideal client isn't a competitor. So it doesn't matter. No one cares. If that was a mistake I made, I competed in bikini competitions and I posted tons about it. And like, that was just alienating my ideal client, who eventually ended up becoming a woman who wants to become stronger, both physically and mentally, because she's had some sort of like exercise addiction or issues with food in the past. Okay, so then I was posting about bikini competition and that was literally alienating her even more. And so that was really, really bad mistake of mine. So that's one thing. So you need to know that. But then when it comes to like what actual content should you post, I used to say just like add value. I used to say it needs to add value and it needs to be a how-to step-by-step and all this. In hindsight, now as I'm getting more and more into really focusing only on high ticket sales, and because like it's kind of different if you want to become like a YouTuber like I was obsessed with, and versus like building a really, really profitable business. It's like when it comes to building a truly profitable business that really changes people's lives while building an incredibly loyal following at the same time, you need to focus on the why and the what. So why you need to have a, I don't know, why you need to use a barbell or something like that. Or what you should do if you can only have a 20-minute workout, something like that. Okay, so that type of thing, rather than sort of like the exact sort of how-tos. Of course, do some how-to. Don't do that. Don't not do that. I'm not saying that. It's just like doing it all the time just means that you kind of people don't necessarily realize that there's more to it than just knowing what to do. Because, like, here's the thing. If people have, like, a, okay, here's how to do this, they'll then go and try and do it on their own. And the problem with that is, like, when they try and do it on their own, is, like, they're going to make mistakes. And when they make mistakes, that means that then they're obviously, you know, they're failing and it might hold them back for 2 years or something. Great example is, like, you know, I'll tell people, okay, here's how to start your online coaching business. They then try and do it on their own. They then end up wasting tons of money. They then get really frustrated and end up doing something like building a website, which they don't really need. And they spend thousands on that, spend so much time. And it's like, they're actually below where they first started when I first told them how to do it. And so that's why it's bad. Like, so rather than doing that, it's more so about, yeah, telling them the why and the what. When it comes to content and actually having a strategy behind it, because just like taking a selfie and uploading that on the same day is really just not the best idea. You want to actually make sure that like you batch create your content and that you're posting every single day.
Yeah, I love that you started with the niche, because that really forms a basis of everything you're going to post. And I think, like, going back to your point that you tell people to do this and they don't listen, they just stay really general, is because I think a lot of people like have the misconception that if you narrow it down, then you narrow your market and there's not enough people to sell to. And people have like the idea that, no, I'll just market to everyone because then there's way more chance of me getting a client, when actually what they're doing is they're so vanilla and they're not resonating with anyone. So they end up marketing exactly to no one. Yet they think they're marketing to everyone.
Yeah, or they think that an industry is a niche. So they think that, for example, fitness is a niche, but that's actually an industry. But here's the crazy thing. I saw a study by Oberlo. There's 2.6 billion people using social media. And so it's like, okay, out of those 2.6 billion people, like, yeah, all of them need help with fitness, like fundamentally, because everyone needs to be healthy. But at the same time, if you're trying to market to all those people, no one's going to feel like, oh, I really want to check Lauren's profile today because she's going to help me with this thing. They'll just see one day it's talking about bodybuilding, the next day it's powerlifting, the next day it's tracking macros, the next day it's keto, the next day it's paleo, the next day, you know, it's just meaningless. People need you want to polarize people. Like, I make very strong opinion posts and guess what? It attracts people to me and I get people coming in and inbound because they like my opinion. And it's like, okay, some people won't like it, but I don't care, because if they don't like it, then it's fine. Like, I'm confident enough that my business is so good and the transformation that I create in other people's lives is so good that even if they don't like my opinion personally, oftentimes what happens is people will still end up joining because they know the result is going to be so amazing that they're going to get. So you just want to be clear in what you help people achieve in their lives, really.
Yeah, damn right. And then we've got the niches, right? So we've got the niches down. Once you start identifying a niche, a particular area of the market, you post the whys and the whats to really just like explain to people like what they're missing or like aggravate the pain. Then once you start getting interest, where do we go from there? You talk about like getting people on a phone call and having like a sales framework.
I think that the thing is, a lot of people think that the client is just going to come to them. But at the beginning, you need to reach out to people. You need to actively be letting people know that you are open for business and that you can help them. Because you can do simple things. These are tactical, right? I prefer to talk about strategies, but I'll just give a couple of like really quick tactics that people can take away. It's like, as an example, you could put something on your story, like, let's just say you decide that you are gonna help mums lose weight, right? Let's just take a really quick example. Then you could post on your story like, are you a mum? And then do an Instagram poll saying yes or no. And then you could do the next one saying, do you want to lose weight? Yes or no? And it's just like, everyone that clicks yes, just message them. For sure, some of them won't be mums and they still want to lose weight, but just still message them anyway. You never know, they might be pregnant. but seriously though, there are so many ways that you can directly reach out to people. It's just like, you need to know what to say. And I think that people are afraid to do it because they're just afraid of rejection. But here's the thing, right? If you don't reach out to people and therefore they don't get your help, then they're going to stay stuck and you're going to stay stuck and it's no good for anyone. I think in the beginning when people are starting out, I see this in my clients all the time. It's just very me focused. I need to get clients. I wish people were sending me messages, blah, 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 blah. But it's like, just think about it. If you can find people who are actively looking for help, who are actively already spending money on their fitness, then you can go ahead and contact those people, get in front of them. Really quick example. Let's say that you, we'll just go with that example that I just gave, the moms that want to lose weight. Well, if they're already actively spending on their fitness, because you know that shows that they're a buyer, then maybe you could go on a Skinny Tease Instagram page and just look at the followers. Just go ahead and message all those people. You know, that's just like a really easy example. So then once you've messaged them, you obviously want to have a, you don't want to be salesy. You don't want to say like, hey, you should be coached by me because Skinny Tease is stupid. Instead, it's just starting the conversation, right? And if we walk through that whole thing, it will take way too long. So instead of that, what I'm going to say is like after the initial conversation and they express some level of interest, don't just lead with here's my link, book it with me. Instead, you want to give them some real actionable tips. And let me tell you right now, 2019, 2020, 2021, and beyond the year, I believe that sales are now happening. You know, the initial sales are really, really happening in the DM. And when I say sales, I mean you're selling them on getting on a call with you. But you don't tell them it's a sales call. It's simply just a clarity call. You're going to give them total clarity on how to get from where they are now to where they want to be. And guess what? If the bridge in between those two things is your program, the high ticket program that we haven't actually spoken a lot about yet, so we'll go into that in a bit. But if it's that, then you'll invite them to join. And so when you're having these conversations with them, you give them a quick tip. Often what happens is they say thank you. And that's when so many people who want to start online coaching businesses just bounce. They just are like, okay, well, that conversation is done. No, that's the exact moment where you invite them on a call. You can say, hey, Kelly, I'm so glad that you like that tip. I would really honestly love to get on a call with you today because I want to give you total clarity on how you can blah, 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 whatever it happens to be. And then just say to Kelly, hey, I'm around today or tomorrow. When works for you? And then just let them say when works for them. Or even just say, are you around at 1 p.m. today or tomorrow? And if not, then figure out a time that works. You don't need fancy systems when you're getting your first 3 to 10 high ticket paying clients. You just need to actually get people on the phone. And then like we spoke about, Alex, you need to then of course have a structure to sell people on the phone because you can't just ramble for ages. And then after that, then yeah, it's enrolling them and delivering that amazing client experience.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's important to add here, I was on a phone call with a trainer before this podcast, and they were telling me about their lack of sales, right? Like they were struggling with sales, hadn't made any sales. I was like, okay, how many people have you spoke to this week? They were like, probably about 3. I was like, there's your problem.
Oh my gosh.
There is your problem is you're not doing the volume. And if you're not doing the volume, then you're not speaking to enough people. And if you're not speaking to enough people, there's not enough opportunity for you. And the quick fix is just volume. And it's not aimless volume. It's targeted volume with a strategy, with a messenger sequence or a sell sequence, and you follow a process. But you have to actually put in the reps, just like in the gym. Like you're not going to get a six pack or be able to deadlift 200 kilograms from the get-go unless you put in the reps. And it's the same with like building a business. Yeah. I think people think, okay, I'll do this for a couple of days. They see no output and they're like, fuck, this thing doesn't work. Or that this is not the way to do it. But like one of the secrets, which is not a secret, is you just got to do the volume. You've got to post consistently, put out better content, calls to action, but then actually engage people in conversations. And like you said, when you think it's dead, it's not, because the power is often in the follow-up. The fortunes are in the follow-up as well. As you know, Grant Cardone says this. You interviewed him, right? You're a big fan of him. Mm-hmm. The fortunes are in the follow-up. Most of my clients come from people that I follow up with and buy from me at like 90 days in the future or 6 months in the future. But a lot of people give up too early. They don't put in the reps, they don't put in the volume, and they miss out on sales that could have been closed, but then they're just trying to move on or they're not doing it consistently enough, right?
Yeah, I mean, the problem is they don't even track it. Like, they don't even have a lead tracker or any way in which they can keep on top of who they've spoken to. So yeah, it's definitely, definitely highly problematic. That's something which people really do need to stay on top of. And I also think that people, you know, when it comes to getting clients, most people seem to think that selling's evil or selling's bad or they're being annoying. But guess what's more annoying? It's dying 20 years too young because you're too obese. You know, like that's how you start. You need to start thinking about it as a coach. You are literally doing them a disservice. I know people say that all the time, but it's true. Like, they need your help. So you need to give that help to them and clearly explain the benefits. Because if you're not clearly explaining how the transformation that you're going to help them achieve is going to be done and how it's going to benefit their life, then that's the only reason you're not making sales, right? It's simple. It's the price isn't the issue. Having a high ticket price is a way better thing for them to do than having something that's cheap, because if it's cheap, then they're just not even going to take the action. That was why when I sold ebooks, that was a terrible decision, because I wasted so much time making those ebooks. And even though I made tons of sales, because I had by the time I was selling them, I had a huge audience. The problem was that, like, the people who did it, they didn't get the results that they really wanted, other than like 5% of people. And so that's not good, because I don't know about you, but I don't just want to take people's money. I want them to actually get results. That's why we're in this industry in the first place. And so, yeah, I mean, I just think that, like, it's really, I don't know. I just think that people think that it is supposed to be really easy, but it's really not. And it's not, but it's also really fun. Now, that may not sound like it makes any sense, but at the beginning, it's really tough, like, to get your first 3 to 10, you know, paying clients. But once you have momentum, then it just keeps going. It's like a snowball. And so, yeah, that's sort of what I'd like to say on that, really.
Yeah. And I mean, like, on that, it is tough at the start. And that's why a lot of people never make it or fail or end up selling themselves cheap. And not really having the impact they want to have. But obviously there's coaches out there like you who can speed up that process, particularly with going online. And a coach should know that having a coach is going to benefit them. But I see so many...
Oh my gosh, it's so funny.
Yeah, and I see so many coaches out there. I did a post earlier, because I hire a personal trainer to keep me accountable, keep me on track, but because I don't want to think about fitness and health because I'm building a business. Right, my focus is on something else, and so I want someone else to hold me accountable, but also fast track the growth curve and keep me on course. But I think a lot of trainers or coaches out there are missing a trick when they're coaches themselves, but they're not actually using a coach to help them speed up their progress in life and business. It's kind of a weird situation.
Well, not only that, but it also gives you so much more credibility. So I encourage my clients to share on their stories and stuff that they are being coached by me and my team, because literally when their audience sees that they've invested into themselves and their business, then their audience is going to be like, oh my gosh, they're investing money into this thing. Like, wow, I should do that too. And it gives you so much more credibility. But not only that, it's like, if you've hired a business coach, then guess what? Your business is going to be kick ass and the programs you're making are going to be amazing, as long as you hire a good coach, you know. So then that also gives your audience more respect and also sees you as even more credible. But just on what you were saying there, like, one thing that I think is really fascinating, because the reason why I said this is because you've hired a personal trainer. Now, I know what I used to hear when I was a fitness coach. I used to hear all coaches have coaches. And so when I heard all coaches have coaches, all I thought was all coaches have fitness coaches. So I hired a fitness coach. But I didn't realize that what they meant is that, yeah, for sure, all coaches have coaches, but there's all different types of coaches. And the coach that I should have hired was a business coach. And so it's funny because, like, I have clients come into my program who are competing and they make time for like some crazy amount of cardio every single day, but they can't make time to reach out to 10 people every day to try and make sales. And so really what you need to think about is, like, right now, do you care more about being 2% leaner, or do you care about getting clients so that into the long term you can build wealth for yourself and your family? I really think that that is what people need to think about, because like it's I know this because I am like you. I'm a fitness person. I'm obsessed with fitness. I love going to the gym. I train like an absolute beast and no one ever out-trains me. Like, I am that person. And so here's the thing. I know what it's like to put everything into my fitness and just be so obsessed with it. And so if, like, it's so often people will just still put their fitness first and then they're like, oh no, I'm too tired now to do anything in my business. Unfortunately, you know, there's different seasons in life and sometimes you are going to need to sacrifice some of that fitness to build a business. And trust me, it's hard for me to do that for myself because I am obsessed with fitness, but maybe it's just that, like, rather than going to the gym for an hour and a half, you go for an hour. Or maybe it's like, okay, instead of going and doing a bit of cardio, you just eat a bit less so that you have more time. Like, just balance it out and be smart. Yeah, that's really something that I really just want to leave with this audience here today, because I know how it feels to be in that position.
Totally get you. This has been awesome. And I really want to help people find their way to you and what you do, because obviously you specialize in helping people with this stuff, specialize in taking fitness coaches, health coaches, and helping them grow and scale their businesses. So what would be the best place, or the best place for them to go and find you and see what you do and learn more about like what you offer?
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you. So I help people when it comes to the online side of things. I don't touch the in-person. Online is my life. I love it. I'm obsessed. And online coaching is just, I'm addicted to it. And I teach what I do as well. So the best place for everyone listening to this right now is probably going to be if you head over to a website. I'm going to give you access to a free training that's going to help you avoid the three biggest mistakes that people make when they're starting out online. And we've touched upon some of them here, but there are some others which some other mistakes that I've made, and I'm going to tell you how to avoid them as well. So the URL for this is newonlinecoach.com/workshop. I'll spell it out so that you can type it into your Safari or your browser right now. It's newonlinecoach.com/workshop. Yeah, sounds really weird saying that out loud, but I feel like the lady from that, what's that TV show? Countdown or something?
Yeah.
I feel like her.
You nailed it though.
And then, yeah. So that's the website. And then I post a lot of content to LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn's really, really hot at the moment. In fact, did you make a podcast episode about that the other day?
Yeah. So I had on Rachel Tate Saka. We did a whole podcast.
Yeah,
on
I listened to it in the gym. Yeah, it was good.
Oh, did you? Nice. Yeah. I'm trying to ramp up over there because obviously, like, it's booming, right? And you're a big fan of Gary Vee, who is screaming about that on TikTok right now.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing you're doubling down over there, right?
Yeah, no, I love LinkedIn. I really don't have a big audience on there, but my videos get viewed more than the size of my audience, which is amazing. That episode was really, really good. Like, everyone should definitely go listen to that one. But with that said, like, I'm on LinkedIn. It's just my name, Lauren Tickner. Instagram, Lauren Tickner. That's where my biggest audience is, other than my podcast, which is called Impact School. So there's a few options, but I'd say for this audience, the best place to go first is definitely that workshop, which I mentioned. And also, one thing that like people should definitely do is, I don't know about you, but every time that I listen to a podcast, I really like to show my audience that I'm actively educating myself. So what I'll do is I'll just take a screenshot and share the biggest takeaway that I've had from that episode. Now, here's the cool thing about what you can do when you're educating yourself on your business. It's like you take a screenshot and then you share, I'm learning how, like, something that you could write for this episode is like you could tag both myself and Alex and you could say, I'm learning how to create online programs so that I can help you guys. You know, how cool is that? Because then your audience sees it and then they're going to be like getting all excited about the online programs that you have coming. So that's a bit of a sneaky trick that is really helpful. And then obviously I'll share that on my story and there we go. So yeah.
Yeah, I love that. And like you said, it gives you that credibility. Like, it shows that you're investing in yourself, your development, And that's what people are looking for. They're looking for people that invest in themselves. And the more you invest in yourselves and your own education, the more likely people are to invest in you. It's like a mirror effect.
Exactly. Yeah. I just hired a YouTube coach and consultant, and I'm on the coaching program at the moment. Last night at like 9 p.m., I just put on my stories because I was on a coaching call. I was like, I'm getting my YouTube ads grilled by my YouTube ads coach right now. And like, I showed it. And yeah, I mean, it just, people are like, oh my gosh, Lauren has a coach on this thing. And then they put two and two together and they realize, oh, she's learning how to do YouTube ads, which means that she's going to be able to teach me how to do that if I join her coaching program. And it's just like, yeah, it just makes sense.
Yeah, and I think they commented how enthusiastic you were in your video.
Yes, that's what it's about. And I said back, I was like, I love what I do so much, so it's easy to be enthusiastic. And I know that when people like work with me, they're going to get such good results. So I'm excited about it. And that's how, yeah, another thing is that, like, yeah, that's how it should be, really.
Love it. And that's what happens, guys, when you choose something that makes you happy.
Truth. Yeah, circling back around. I love it. Thank you so much for having me, by the way.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did enjoy it, I'd be really grateful if you could leave a short review on one of the platforms. And if you're a personal trainer in a commercial gym with 500 plus members and you want to fast track your income growth and learn how to sign multiple new clients a week, reach out to me personally through Facebook or Instagram and just drop me a private message so we can get the conversation started and see if you could be a good fit for one of our programs. All the links to my social can be found in the show notes so we can connect there. See you next week.